Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Get ready to get into the Word this morning. I tell you, I've been chomping at the bit to minister on this. There's been several times that I've been thinking about ministering on this topic, and then therefore I just, well, you know, maybe we'll push it off. In fact, I was thought maybe we ought to just put it at the end of the year, then, well, maybe the first part of the year. And I'm like, no, you know what, it just is the right season and the right time right now to get into this. And so we're just believing that God is doing some amazing things, and he's going to do some amazing things in your life. For instance, I want to just share a testimony that we heard this morning. One of our team members that came to our morning rally as we got ready to serve today. We oftentimes say, hey, let's celebrate the wins, who had a win with Jesus this past week. And they said that, you know, they weren't inquiring about it, but they found out, I don't know if she got a letter in the mail, but $100,000 of school loans have been just expunged, and therefore there is no more debt concerning the education loan that she had. And so praise God, that's the kind of year that we're in right now. And I don't know if that excites you. Again, I know it's one of those things where we start talking about God's blessing and increase, and we talk about God's favor. And as long as people are doing okay, you're okay with it. But as soon as they start doing better than you, you start getting a little bent out of shape. Like, what happens? What gives? Why is God doing that for you and not me? Listen, we are in the same blessing line. I said, we are in the same blessing line. If God did it for one, he'll do it for another. You might as well just step up in the line and say, I'm next. Amen. And so praise the Lord. God's moving in this season, in this hour. And I know that he's moving in your life. And so you realize it's the word of God that really begins to help us understand the heart of God in this particular area. So to begin with, I just want to share several scriptures. Again, if you have notes, in fact, if you're not a note taker, let me just again help you today. Start becoming to be a note taker, whether you put them in your phone, whatever, have a special app, whatever you do, start taking notes, because again, you'll find that if you go back to those notes, it will help the word be solidified in your life. Amen. So again, write these scriptures down. If you're taking notes, you won't see them up on the screen just because I got a number of them and that we're going to go through. So listen carefully and allow the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And there's something about the word. The Bible says that the word is a light unto our path. And so there's something about the word that if you hear it as though God is speaking to you, it will light you ablaze on the inside, and it will stir something in you. You'll get excited. And therefore, again, I trust that the word this morning will do just that. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue. That same verse in the New Living, or excuse me, the Passion's Translation says this: everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him. Psalms 34 verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Somebody say, no good thing shall I lack. Well, praise the Lord. All right. You going to participate next one? All right. Psalms 84 verse 11 says this: for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord has given grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Passion Translation says it this way: for the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of a sunrise, wrapping himself around me like a shield. He is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along his path with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. Woo! Praise God. Come on, does that excite somebody there? Come on, let me just say that last part again. Those who walk along the path of along his path with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. Amen. Mark 11, 24 says this: therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The Message translation says it this way: that's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large, including everything as you embrace this God life, as you'll get God's everything. And then lastly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this: but as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, that has entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't know if the word of God, upon hearing it, does something on the inside of you. But as I've been studying this week and meditating on these verses, every time I read those scriptures, something begins to go ablaze on the inside of me that God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. How many of you believe in the verses or the scripture that we just read? Amen. The Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It does not return unto him void. So therefore, if he said it, it settles it. Praise God. So once again, God says, I want you to experience the blessing and the goodness that I provided for you. Amen. Amen. So therefore, if we believe these things, it ought to affect our countenance. Amen. And God desires for us to live this life with no or without limits. I said, God wants us to live this life without limits. And so therefore, the title of our series that we're starting today, excuse me, is called No Limits. No Limits. Now, I don't know about you, but it's real easy to have limitations in life. But we're going to begin to change that, excuse me, and we're going to begin to whittle away at those limitations in our life. And so we're going to lift the lid of our limitations. How many of you have realized that throughout the courses of life, there's this lid that tries to squash us and keep us down and keep us under and keep us from only going so far? But God wants us to remove the limitations. And according to the scriptures that we just read, the Bible says that he has already done this. So it's not a matter of what God's going to do. It's a matter of what we will do to raise the lid of our limitations. I said God wants us to live a life without limitations. Look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us and as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Now listen to this last part. The word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Did you hear what that said? It said that they heard the gospel, but the word of God that they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. You see, the word of God, that which we've just heard, you might find that there's something that begins to stir on the inside. Like, yes, God wants to bless me. God wants me to live well. God wants me to be taken care of and sustained. And we start to hear the word of God and something begins to happen on the inside of us. But then it doesn't take long. All of a sudden we find like, dear God, life is hard. Life is difficult. And this is coming from this side and this is coming from that side, right? But it's the word that produces faith. But it says upon hearing the word, they didn't receive it because it wasn't mixed with faith. Amen? So we're going to talk about that in just a minute here. But let me just say this in regards to what I'm getting ready to say or what we're getting into. And we're going to be talking about God's provision and blessing on our life. And I'm going to be really honest with you as a pastor. I've not done a good job at teaching this to our church. Because in a lot of ways, what has happened is I started teaching or ministering on this subject. And without fail, there's always that somebody that says, well, you've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. When are you going to move on? You preachers always talk about money as though the blessings of God just reflect money only. But I want you to know something, that God wants us to live a good life. We talk about going to heaven and how good it's going to be and how eternity will look. But the moment you receive Jesus into your life, eternity on God's side began. It don't just begin when you get to heaven. In fact, we ought to live such a life walking with Jesus that when we get to heaven, we ought to say, this is so familiar to me. This is how I live my life walking on the earth, because I am a kingdom kid and I've learned to walk in the blessing and the provision of God. Amen. And once again, I realize that this is one of those subjects where people get really touchy. Because again, you say, well, you're talking about money. Do you realize that in this world, it is the green stuff that makes the world go around? And you can try to spiritualize it all you want, but if you don't have money, you don't have nothing. If you don't have money, you don't have a roof over your head. If we don't have money as a church, we don't have a place to meet. Money is king in this earth, right? And so why are we afraid to talk about it when God says, I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. I own everything. And I've made everything available to you. Amen? In fact, I was just listening to some preaching the other day, just stirring my faith concerning God's provision and blessing. And as I'm listening, man, I'm just getting stirred up. I'm like, God, you are so good. You're so good. Your word is so true, and you've done so much, and we've done so little with what you've given us. And as I'm thinking about the word that I'm hearing, I said to the Lord, I said, how come people have such a problem with this kind of preaching? Because we need to hear it. And the Lord said to me, he said, do you know that there's those certain ones that preach about this stuff that are always persecuted? And I said, yes. And he says, but I do need them to preach that message, because they'll be, well, you're just that blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, prosperity preacher. Do you realize that God needs those preachers to preach along that subject matter so that we, the church, can hear it? Because if they don't preach it, if they don't teach it, we won't hear it. And you might say, well, yeah, but they live high on the hog and they have this and they do that. Somebody's got to model it in front of us to let us know that it's possible to live the God kind of life. Yeah. Amen. And you might say, well, yeah, but you know, listen, the only reason why we say, you know, is because we live day to day struggling. And it's because we've not trusted God in the area of what we just read. I read you 10 scriptures of the goodness of God, and he says, you won't lack nothing, whatever you have need of. I've already made provision for it, but yet we struggle from day to day thinking, dear God, if I could just get some more overtime. Right? Why do we need people to preach and teach the word so that we'll get it? Now, I'll say this. I wasn't going to say this, but I will. Some of you know who Kenneth Copeland is. Some of you say, I don't like him. Well, so be it. But he was sharing this story one time, and he said there was this other minister that was ministering. And Kenneth Copeland called him, and he says, I was watching you when you was ministering. And he said, and you began to speak by the unction of the Holy Spirit, and you started to talk about millions of dollars coming into the kingdom of God. And then he said, then you started to say, and billion. And he said, and you stopped. And he said, I just want you to know I've been there. And he said, I've struggled with that myself. He said, because the Lord has been dealing with me to believe for billions. He said, I've talked about millions. And he says, people have persecuted me and criticized me and said awful things about me because we ask and believe God for millions of dollars. And he said, and now you want me to believe for billions of dollars? And he says, yes. He says, because if you don't believe for billions of dollars, nobody else will. If you don't teach people that you can believe God for more than what you've ever expected before, nobody will believe it. He says, but, he said, those that are serving the devil, he says, they won't think twice about thinking about billions. Just look at our government. How many trillions of dollars are we in debt? And they don't blink an eye at billions and trillions. Are you hearing me this morning? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the hand of God upon our life. Of living above the standard of just getting by. Once again, he says, you've received the word, but you didn't receive or benefit from the word because you didn't mix faith with it. So let's look at that for just a moment. What does it mean to not mix faith with the word? Well, first we have to ask the question, how does faith come? Well, Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say it comes from having heard. It says it comes, or we could paraphrase it this way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes from hearing. So it says that they heard the word, but did not mix faith with the word. So what did they not do? How did they not mix faith? They didn't keep on hearing. They heard it and it sounded good, just like the scripture I read to you this morning. You're like, woo, praise God. God says all my needs are taken care of. Glory to God. And then we leave church and Monday morning hits a smack in the face. So how did they not mix faith? They didn't continue to hear the word of God. Secondly, the Bible says that the word of God renews our mind. And therefore, if it renews our mind, what it does is it renews our thinking, or it changes the way that we think. So what that also means is that if they did not mix faith with it, it means that their thinking did not change from the way that they were. So in other words, I just kept living life the way that I've always done. Rather than really trusting and believing in God, the moment I had a bill, what am I going to do? Right? That's what the old thinking is. What am I going to do? 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 Listen, you need to get off the throne of your life and put Jesus back on it. Because he said, I have already made everything available that you need. Amen. Did you hear that? He's already made available everything that we need. So that means that before you ever have a need, God already saw you having a need and made the provision available. But yet when you get there, because you haven't renewed your mind, you think, dear God, what am I going to do? And God's like, hello, I'm here, I've got it. All you have to do is ask me for it, right? So number one, how did they not mix faith? They didn't continue to hear. Number two, they didn't renew their thinking, or therefore their thoughts were not changed. And number three, in regards to not mixing faith, faith always has corresponding actions. In other words, there's something that we have to do in result or as a result of our faith growing. There's corresponding actions that happen. Now, we'll get into that later. But once again, today what I want to talk about, and we're running short on time. You doing all right? Amen. You liking what you're hearing? All right, so we can go a couple hours. Is that all right? All right. We won't go that long. All right. So once again, let's begin to just dive in for just a short minute here concerning right and wrong thinking. Right and wrong thinking. Because right and wrong thinking is the number one thing that will prevent you from receiving what God said he made available. It's in our thinking. So notice again what the scripture says. Let me give you another verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. This is going to be in the Amplified. And it says this: "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance." Well, did you just hear that somebody had favor given to them that $100,000 of school debt was canceled? Come on, that's living proof that the word works. And if it works for one, it will work for you. "And God is able to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support or furnishing or furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." This is God's promise to you. He says that he can make all the grace abound towards you, that you have all sufficiency in all things, and that it abounds to every good work. But it's our thinking that cuts off the grace of God. It's our thinking that gets us into trouble. But now let me ask you this in regards to this scripture. Let me just read it again. "And God is able to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, that it would be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." Is anybody behind in bills that's sitting in here? You don't have to raise your hand. But is there anybody that's behind in bills? This verse ought to light you up. Anybody need a new car? This ought to light you up. You have some need in your life. This ought to just excite you. I don't know about you, but we've been having lots of conversation around our house about college lately. This verse lights me up. Why? Because when I think about college, woo! Dear Jesus, thank you that you've already made everything available that I have need of. You made it available before I got here. Amen. You know, when we went to Oklahoma, we went down to ORU. That's Oral Roberts University. You get down there, man, it's glitz and glamour. I mean, this is a beautiful university. And she's just like, "I like this place. I like it here." Well, listen, I always wanted to go to ORU when I was a teenager. But here she is. She's saying, "I like ORU. You know what my knee jerk is? I can't afford that." But listen, who said I had to afford it? My God says that he already made provision for everything that I have need of before I got there. And you might say, "Well, that's just putting too much on God." No, listen, I'm talking about living a life as a child of God and living like God's word is true and he'll do what he says he will do. We don't think correctly, so I don't dare ask God for the big things. Because, you know, that's just what we do. We go into debt. You know, we're supposed to save up, and you didn't save up like you're supposed to. So, bless the Lord. Community college is the best you can do. No, listen. I can believe God for the best. Right? And again, it's not based on what God can do. It's what can I believe him for. Are you doing all right this morning? And so God, again, he wants us to trust him. Has anybody ever had an emergency in your life? The furnace went out. The roof has a leak. The car broke down. You need a dishwasher or a washing machine. Have we ever had emergencies that have come up and we think, "Dear God, what am I going to do? I don't have excess just laying around." But have we ever stopped to say, "God, I have a need. And if I have a need, that means you have a supply. So God, thank you that you're working on my behalf." But we shut it down so quickly because we're used to thinking as though, "Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Why don't we just trust God? See, there is this life. Did you notice that one scripture says, "Those that walk on the path of God knowing him? See, that's the ticket. That's the trick. You see, we have a form of godliness and we're like, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. I know that my sins are forgiven and one day I'll get there. And yes, the Bible says that I'll have a mansion and it's on the streets of gold. And praise the Lord, I'll see it one day. But listen, who says that God doesn't want to take care of our needs right here and right now? It's because we've got this mentality or thinking that's been incorrect. Let me just share with you again a verse that we read. For the Lord is brighter than the brilliance of the sunrise, wrapping himself around me like a shield. He is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along the path with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. Come on, somebody. This is your Bible speaking to you. It's in there? It says that? Yes. But you see, faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. You see, God doesn't want you just to believe him for the big things. He wants you to believe him for the little things. I know I've shared this before, but it will bear repeating. Pastor Hagin, you know, he taught us while we were in Bible college. He says, you know, learn to exercise your faith every day. He says, I just use my faith in little ways. He says, I ought to say, Lord, I'm believing you for a candy bar. And he says, God blesses me with a candy bar. You think, really? Listen, you're learning how to use your faith and trust God. You say, well, is that really a need? Well, you made it a need and said, God, I'm learning to trust you. So I started meditating on that one day. I was working for General Motors and I was down in Livonia. And I started meditating. I thought, Lord, help me grow in my faith. And I said, you know, when I go to work today, I'm believing for a Coca-Cola. I just believe that somebody's going to bless me with a Coca-Cola. And so I'm there working on my job, and it's in the middle of summertime. It's blazing hot, man. There's no air conditioning. I mean, it's just hot and humid. And I'm doing my job, and this one guy comes by. Never seen him before. He comes by, and he says to me, he says, hey, listen. So I'm going over to the cafeteria. Can I get you something to drink? I said, yeah, get me a Coke. He says, okay, I'll be right back. And so he comes back and he gives me my Coke. I said, hey, man, thank you so much. He says, oh, you're welcome. I said, my name's Tony. He says, my name's Angel. I'm thinking, God sent me an angel, man, just to bring me a Coke. And you might say, that is just wild. It is wild. It is wild living on the edge of walking with Jesus so that we know him. We've walked on the path with him so that it's not unfamiliar to us, but it becomes normal for us just to walk with God. And God, you said it. Therefore, I believe it. I've got a dishwasher that needs to be replaced. I don't have the money, but you said there's a need that you've already provided for. Therefore, I can have confidence to know that you're faithful. Come on, somebody. This is the life that God wants us to live. Now, again, I'm not talking about getting fat and happy, being rich and lazy. I'm talking about understanding that God wants to be your source. And you might say, well, yeah, but, you know, we live in different times. Listen, look at the children of Israel. God could have said, listen, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and I want you to all go down to McDonald's and get a job. Because, you know, you got to be diligent and work for a living. They all had jobs. They had to take care of their stuff. But did you know that God took care of them supernaturally for 40 years? Supernaturally. And obviously they grumbled and complained all along the way. The only difference about that story is, rather than taking on the likeness of God's provision in their life, we've taken on the likeness of their grumbling and complaining. Oh God, it's so hard. I got to eat steak again. Got to eat a hamburger again. No, God wants to take care of us. You all right? So once again, when life happens, oftentimes we live life reacting to circumstances void of faith. And what we end up doing is just simply hoping and wishing that God does something. But notice the Bible says that they heard the word, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix faith with the word. So the reason why we simply just hope and wish is because we've stepped out of a place of trusting God because of our faith in God, and just get to a place of, God, just do something. Just send me $1 million. If you send me $1 million, that would solve everything. You realize that money don't solve everything? Because it don't solve what's going on the inside of you. It don't solve the issue of, we just need to learn how to walk with Jesus and trust Him. Have you ever had that thought? Man, wouldn't it be great, man, if I just... I don't play the lotto. I work too hard for my money. What's it, like $1? $2? I don't know. I mean, I'm so stingy that even $2, I'm too tight for $2 to give for a lottery ticket, man. I'll go buy me a pop or something versus losing $2, you know. But nevertheless, you know, you've had this thought, well, man, if God just gave me $1 million. Here's the problem. Most believers don't qualify. And if God was to say, I have $1 million here that I'm wanting to give you. The fact of the matter is that for most believers, He couldn't trust them with $1 million. And that's the sad truth. And so it's not God that has withheld the blessings from His people. It's really our lack of confidence and trust in Him, because He can't trust us. Let me give you an example, just to get you dreaming and thinking just a little bit. Is that all right? I just want you, all of us have had dreams, maybe businesses that you've wanted to start, or maybe you've got some current situations that, man, I just need some help big time. Or again, maybe you're thinking, man, I got to provide for college or a new house or whatever it is. You might have some things that you've been thinking, dreaming about, or maybe there was a dream at one time, but you kind of let go of it. So let's just kind of play with those ideas for just a moment. So hypothetically, let's just say there was this gentleman that called me and said, hey, Pastor Tony, he said, God's put it on my heart. He says, I am a very rich man. I'm a billionaire. I don't really have any heirs. He said, but I'm a Christian man. And he said, I just want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And he said, so what I would like to do is come to your church. And he said, I would like to give every family $1 million. He says, I know that they've got dreams and there's things that God's put in them, and I just want to help them and be a blessing. Would that be all right? Now, for sure, come on. So we come into Sunday morning, you're all here, it's news to you. You never knew of what was going on. It's a big surprise. You just happen to be the special people that happen to be here this day. And so I introduced this man to come up, and I said, you know, Mr. So-and-so, he would like to share something to everybody here. And so here's what he says. He says, hey, listen, he says, God's blessed me and He's put it on my heart, and I want to bless all of the families here in this church. If you're a family, or to each family, he says, I want to give each family $1 million. Now, he says, I know you've got dreams. He said, here's the prerequisite. He said, I'm going to be in the back. There's a table back there. He says, I've already got checks made out. And he says, I just need to put your name in it. He says, but when you come in the back there, and he says, you tell me your name. Before I give you your check, I want you to tell me what you're going to do with the money. Because I know God's put things in your hearts. I know that there's dreams. I want to know what you're going to do. What's your first step? And so, he goes back there at the end of service, and the line is lined up, and we're all waiting in line to stand before the guy, and he's getting ready to write the check, and he asks you, and he asks you, and he asks you. So for just a moment, for just 10 seconds, I want you to think for just a minute, what would that be? If he asked you the question, what are you going to do? What would your answer be? You thinking about it? Are you letting yourself dream a little bit as to what she would do? Okay. I trust that you dreamed just a little bit. But now let me just hit you with something here. Every single person's answer ought to have been the exact same. When he said to you, what is your first step? When I write this check for $1 million, what are you going to do? You should have said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to write my church a check for $100,000, baby. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, give God the first fruits. The first thing should have been giving my 10% back to God. Now, I'm not going to ask you what your answer was, but if that wasn't your answer, then what that proves is that we think incorrectly concerning God's provision. Amen. Does that make sense? Why? Because God wants us to do things His way. Whew. Come on, did that hit home a little bit? Again, this isn't about tithing or offering today. It's about thinking correctly. And because we, the church, have thought incorrectly, that's why we've not been able to be trusted with God's blessing and increase. Amen? Oh, where do we go? Praise the Lord. Let me just finish with this. I've got too much more to go, so I'm not even going to get into it. But I will finish with this. Why don't you stand up with me? As I said, this message is not necessarily about money, but it is about the goodness of God and God taking care of our every need. God never said it was your responsibility to take care of one thing. Now, our responsibility is to be stewards. I'm a steward of a church. I'm a steward of my marriage. I'm a steward of my children. But God never said for me to provide a lifestyle for my kids. He said, steward my kids. He said, I'll be your God. Now, I'll be honest, I'm walking this out just like you are. And every day I'm being challenged. God, help me trust you and know you as my provider. But you just want to take care of me. You know, my kids, my daughter, she's got them on today. She's got some blue Nikes on. Now, when I was a kid, it probably came a certain age, but when I was a kid, I didn't have a choice of what kind of shoes I wore. I'd go to my mom and dad and I'd say, these are cool. I want these. And they'd say, shut up, boy. You're getting these over here, these penny loafers or whatever they were, you know. Like, I don't like those shoes. Well, that's what you're wearing, boy, right? But my daughter, she went to my wife and she said, oh, I really like these shoes. And they were a certain amount. You know, my daughter didn't care about the amount. Nor did she care whether my wife cared. She just went and says, hey, Mom, I really like these shoes. Will you buy them for me? The next thing I know, there's a package on the front doorstep. And I asked, well, how much were these? And I'm like, woo! But my point is this. My daughter did not question or have to come bawling and squalling or scratching. Oh, Mom, please, will you get me these? No. Hey, Mom, I like these. Mom says, okay. I'll get them. Just because I love you. And I want to bless you. If we're that way as toward our kids, why do we think God's different in anything in life? Anything. I said anything. But we settle. And I've been wearing these socks for the last 6 years. I've stitched up the holes in these socks. And man, dear God, I am getting the life out of these buggers. No, listen, you just have poverty mentality. And you've been afraid to go buy a new bag of socks. And we're going to deal with some of that poverty thinking because it's rampant in the church. It's rampant in this community. But let me finish this with this scripture. In regards to the word blessed, the Bible says that when He made us, He said that you're blessed. The Vine's expository dictionary says blessed is defined this way: to prosper, to be happy, to bestow blessings upon. Another translation says to be empowered. John's gospel in John chapter 10, verse 10. This is Jesus speaking to us. In your Bible, you might have it written in red. This is Jesus speaking to you. He says this: I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That word, more abundantly, that Jesus came to give, this is how it's defined in the Greek language: exceeding measure. Listen, this is the life Jesus said he came to give you. Exceeding measure, rank or need. Over and above, more than is necessary. Super added, surplus. Super abundance, superior in quality. Super abundant in quantity. And Dr. Strong's commentary says it means by implication, excessive. Oh. See, we've been so tight and stingy with God. And we look at other ones that seem to be living well, and we're like, oh, they're just being excessive. You have never met somebody more excessive than God.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.